Shucky Ducky. My kind of
friend. It's a razzle dazzle day. Da 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 da. Everything in it. That's the razzle dazzle way. I wish you could see me. I'm doing some sweet moves right here.
No, I know you're doing the Carlton. We all know you well
enough to
know
you're doing the Carlton. I can't do the Carlton while I record. I can only kind of shimmy with my hands.
Jeff, I feel like that's all you need to shimmy is with your hands.
No, when I shimmy with my glutes.
That could
my
be
glutes.
Your move. There's no boobs. It's just hands.
I shimmy with my glutes. You know, I show everyone my moneymaker.
That's not a real thing.
You got the money maker. You got the money maker. You know?
I don't know what that is.
Whatever. Welcome to This Week in Mormons, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this spectacular program where we go over Mormon news and ephemera of various
This times. Is what we do. We go over Mormon news.
What we do is we rehash things that are already out there and make it better. In many ways.
We're not breaking stories here. We just make fun of what's already been said.
Before we self-indulge too much, I think, should we introduce our guest? That might be a nice thing to do, yeah?
Yeah, for the first time in like 6 months, we have a guest.
Introduce yourself,
Steve.
Boy.
And
the guest is...
I'm so excited.
Steve Solberg, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Solberg. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on... This Week in Mormons.
Did you just look up what
he doesn't
what
even know what this is.
I'm so excited to be on. You know what? I was trying to remember the acronym. You call it TIME or something? Or what do you call it?
What is the acronym for This Week in Mormons, Steve? If you were going to take the first letter of each of those and put them together, what would that make?
I would go.
Is it TIME?
TWIM.
TWIM.
He's done it. We've used basic grammatic principles and found answers.
So Steve is a prominent figure. I'm just going to go out here and say a prominent figure in the Salt Lake stand-up comedy scene.
That's a thing?
I met him first. I saw him doing stand-up at Wise Guys in West Valley. And then I've seen him do stand-up at every other Wise Guys in Utah. And it was delightful. And not too long ago, I said, Steve Solberg, you should come. I've always wanted to learn how to do stand-up. What if we lived together and I tried to learn how to do stand-up just by osmosis, by being around you? And he was gracious enough to concede and has moved in to the spare bedroom. So now my recording stuff is back in the living room and Steve lives in the old TWIM studio. It's pretty exciting. How is that studio?
This is a great studio / bedroom. It's one of the best studio bedrooms I've ever had.
You may remember when Jeff was pointing out the Pinterest ladder shelf that you had.
Oh, I was about to mention that, actually. What is up with that guy? I mean, it's right? If I'm not mistaken, it's just ladders with some planks across it? Or
that's all there is to it. It's not complicated. It's a very simple ladder shelf. But yeah, it's ladder bookshelf. Just if you go on Pinterest, just Google ladder bookshelf. Or search. Yeah. I guess if you're on Pinterest, it's not called Googling.
Pine. Pine for...
Yeah.
Can you pin? Pine. I'd pine.
Pine for ladder bookshelf. And you'll see that I, Steve Solberg, have pinned one in specifically, and that's the exact one that I copied.
Oh, my goodness. I'm seeing this. I'm seeing some of these that are better ideas than yours. Not to diminish the wonderful work you've done here, but...
Jeff, he is a guest, please. I'm sorry, Steve.
I see one. Look at this
one. You didn't see it completed, though.
Oh, this one's a beauty. I'm looking at one right now.
You saw it while the wood was raw before the Thompson's finish went.
Did you distress it, too? Did you really take it to that level?
No. Oh. I should have, but no. It's just naturally distressed.
So Steve, talk to us a little bit about, well, because you're doing comedy now full time, right?
I'm a comedian, so please follow me on Pinterest.
That's where all the new comedians are breaking out.
It's a new social media thing. It's going to be huge, bigger than Facebook, obviously
the
bigger than Google Plus.
Oh, for
you
sure.
You can follow my shopping habits on Amazon wishlist.
If you, So full time comedian.
How is the comedy scene in Salt Lake for you? Do you enjoy this?
It's good. I like it. It's better than you would think.
I'm not thinking much. So it's really good?
Yeah. I think most people don't think there's any scene here at all. But yeah, it's actually a really good scene.
Who would you say are some of the funnier comics that we should be paying attention to that are like up and down in the is it the Valley or is it the Front? What are we we're in
the
Utah.
Wasatch Front.
Let's say the Wasatch Front.
Yeah, okay.
Gosh. Okay. So I feel like
obviously
this is,
you have a great if I may, you have a great about hour show that you do that's very, very good.
Oh, good.
And he will be performing it for us today.
What's that?
Go.
That's all the episode is this week. Steve will be performing his one man show.
Right.
And we're just
going to start with the Kevin Bacon stuff. let's see who you should follow on. So, like, I don't know, Keith Stubbs, very funny local comedian. Guys who came out of Utah that I have kind of admired and I think are hilarious. Are Ryan Hamilton, of course.
Yeah, I love Ryan Hamilton. I think that guy's great.
He's hugely funny. I think Ryan, honestly, will be the next Brian Regan. And not just for Mormons. I think he's going to be the next Brian Regan for everybody.
He's not going to be as loud as Brian Regan, I hope. But still
not as
very
loud.
Funny. Brian Regan, the only thing that irks me about Brian Regan, I feel like he's got some funny stuff, but his delivery is so loud and obnoxious that I look at him and I hate him.
You're like quit it, you loud, tall guy. And then
told the joke as though it were a funny joke instead of screaming it at me, I think I'd have a different relationship with Brian Regan.
I see. That's fun. I don't know.
Is there a seedy underbelly to the comedy scene in Salt Lake? Like, is there stuff going
it's
on
not,
that we just have no idea
It's not
about?
In Salt Lake. It's a bunch of basement parties down in Daybreak. That's where they do it.
Oh, yeah. Private shows that people only find out about on Pinterest night of.
It's serious. It's exactly Pinterest.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the Pinterest crazy parties, then you haven't lived, really, down
like,
in Daybreak.
Get to Daybreak now. Steve's going on in 5.
I don't know that there's a seedy underbelly. I don't think there is, but
there could be.
If there's a seedy underbelly, you're talking to the wrong guy, unfortunately.
I have a question though. What do you think of Jenna Kim Jones? Funny or not?
Oh,
funny?
Yeah, Jenna's a friend of mine.
We've had Jenna on the show a couple of times.
Yeah. I've done a handful of shows with Jenna. I haven't seen her recently, which bums me out because I think she's funny. Yeah, she's got a great stage presence. You know what? It's almost. I hope she likes this comment.
She won't hear it. Don't worry. She's not.
She won't hear it. Yeah. It's hard for her to not be a success. She's a cute blonde girl. Like, and I know that Utah has a bajillion cute blonde girls, but the world doesn't. So.
Have you been to Denmark?
Any talent that she could have had, like anything that she could have possibly done to have been a success. You're like,
I know.
Like, how could you not succeed?
Yeah. Steve loves the glass ceiling. He's all about.
I know. I didn't see that was the thing. I didn't mean for that to come out as like bad. I meant it as a compliment as well.
You should hang out
with Jenna.
If you
hear this, I think you're funny. All right. I think you're very funny. And she's not hearing this.
Dear Jenna,
she will never hear this.
From the bottom of my heart, please know that I laugh at your jokes.
I almost left a note on a girl's car today.
And I'm jealous of your fame.
Yeah.
You left a note?
I almost left a note. Well, I almost did. I almost left a note and said, hey. Hey. Well, because I was on the phone when I came into my house today, so into my apartment. There's a girl that we keep almost crossing paths. And so I'm on my phone, though, and we come in, and she's getting the elevator at the same time. I was like, this is perfect. The guy I was with would not hang up. And so I'm on the phone the whole way up the elevator. She smiles at me, little hair flip, and I'm smiling at her. And I know exactly what car she drives, but, like, I've never been able to talk to her. And she lives on the floor above me. And so now there's a part of me that's like, I wonder if I should just go, hey, nice ride. I really liked your yoga pants. We should go out sometime.
Al, I thought you told me that you're like the only Mormon in your complex.
I'm the only Mormon. Well, now I go to a family ward, so I have no idea who these other people are. There could be hot women in yoga pants going to the singles ward that I didn't know moved in, Jeff.
Oh.
You ever think about that?
No. You just told me that everyone in your complex was less active.
Yeah, well.
That was your assumption.
When it opened, there's one other family that's here that I've seen at church, and so I think the numbers are pretty slim. But
well, you also
what if
live
I could
in
reactivate
apartment.
This woman, What if I could reactivate this woman with my love, Jeff? You ever think about that?
I think about that every day, actually. I wonder whom you can reactivate with your love.
That is my prayer.
A lot of people, I think. A lot. I bet there's a lot of Mormons here. They're just all, I bet they're all inactive.
If they could redo those old Mormon ads, it would just end and say, Al, isn't it about time? Just that.
Love. Isn't it
just
about
Al.
Love?
It's just about time for Al. Not family.
We should make those. Dear Twim Army.
So we shouldn't make them. Hey, Twim Army, let's crowdsource this and make fun of videos that are 7 years old for an ad campaign, 9 years old, whatever.
What was her name? Laura Barlow. Where is she? She was our best designer.
She's in New York, where she's always.
Ever since she got married, I feel like she's kind of dropped off our radar.
People drop off once they get married. This happens.
Which leads me to believe she only listened to the show for my body.
That's definitely what it was.
Jeff, are you single then? Is that...
No, I'm happily married. I have a hot wife. I'm good.
Wow.
Yeah, a year. Well, is it a year yet?
No,
it's over.
We're
a year.
Almost a year and a half now. But
Would you say that she came from Twim?
Yeah, I would say
that.
From your Twim fame.
No.
I feel like
she used to make fun of the fact that I had a podcast before we dated.
Yeah, and surprisingly, some of our more nerdy hobbies are not always well received by
Well, it's the only thing she knew about me. And so when I moved to D.C. and we met, and she'd be like, oh, yeah, this is Jeff. She's like, he has a podcast. He's a big deal. She'd say it like that to mock me.
Like in a mocking tone.
Sort of.
As all women do. They all talk to me like that. Oh, Al, with his big, bad podcast.
Well, Al, what are you going to lead off with? It's either I've got a podcast or I run a fabric store. I don't really know which one you want to.
These are daggers you're throwing.
Yeah, I don't know which one's the best.
Helpful.
You can't say like, I remove landmines. I'm a landmine removal magnate.
No, that's accurate. That's actually accurate. So Steve, what are you working on now? I know for a fact, because I've seen the guy come over to our house before, that you have a CD coming out soon, right?
Yeah,
you're doing a whole comedian stand-up thing. What can you tell us about yourself?
All,
Give us some history, some background, some context.
Who's the guy coming over to the house? I understand making a CD, but what, you have like a muse coming by? And I mean,
they make eye contact.
I mean,
because
you're not going to, like, he's not
jokes.
Coming over and bringing over studio equipment and saying, like, all right, let's lay down track five right now. The story of the rainbow and the goat. Let's do it.
Bernie, run that tape again. I like this one.
So your lover comes by, and then what's going on?
Yeah. It's just like you pictured. We just tell jokes. He did a recording for me live at a show. Uh-huh. And so he just comes by and says, okay, here's the tracks that I got. What tweaks do you want? What stuff do you want to edit out? So
the fascinating thing about that, I actually heard Steve say, I want more laughter here.
Did you hear that?
You think the audience is just laughing. Steve's like, no, this needs to be funnier. This joke was good. Bring this, that laughing.
You are adding a laugh track to your comedy? Oh, my goodness.
I'm not. That's
nothing,
nothing
is
not
holy.
Happening.
This is like a 1990s
sitcom.
That's
a lie. That's not true.
No. Right now, all the laugh that we're getting is from... So we recorded straight from the mic that I was holding in my hand. And so whatever laughs that mic caught...
Ah, okay.
Is what's coming through, but we had a secondary mic out in the crowd, so I kind of do want the crowd mic spliced in. So that's what
you
got to
mix some of that.
Yeah, that's what makes it real. Having experience in live production, when I was in a famous band in California recording live albums, I can tell you how important the applause truly is. Al, I don't know what you're making fun of. Actually, just today I spoke with my old bandmate, and we've decided to take the plunge and digitize our old catalog so we can get it on like Spotify and iTunes and stuff. It's going
to
be awesome.
Oh, finally. Good.
So that nobody can listen to it. I'm going to try to sell on Bandcamp first, and if I get enough money to have like CD Baby distribute or something like that, then we will attack everything else. It's going to be marvelous.
If you put it on Kickstarter, I'll back it for $10, Jeff.
That's great. I only need like $35 per album, so I'm set. Great. If anybody else wants to contribute and hear awesome late 90s pop punk emo garbage, you're going to be so pleased.
Okay.
Oh, it'll be that's music that is now 15 years old. You're going to love it.
Now, if it was Hawaiian ska, I would have been there. So
Scott was a mistake.
So Steve, is there anything about you we should know? I'm weary.
How many times?
I'm just nervous that we're moving on and like you're underrepresented because you're a very good friend, a very funny man. I want to make sure the audience is kind of getting that gist.
I guess I'm not talking enough. I should talk more. But
he's gonna be here for the whole episode. It's not like we're getting rid of him after this.
No, I know. All right. Never mind.
Jeff wants to talk about his band, I think.
No, I'm done. No, I've said everything I need to say for the next 3 months about my band. I'm good.
Okay. Well, anyway. So,
If anything, just find how... I'll just spell my name for them, and they can Google me.
No,
so.
Stop it. Gross. Come on.
Do you not have a website or an about.me page or anything?
I do have a website, but unfortunately my web guy just got fired yesterday because
you fired
was that
him.
Because
yeah, he
oh, really? Wow.
I just had two people call me yesterday for jobs and they said, well, I emailed you through your website and I never got those emails, so apparently my website is non-functional right now. So he lost his job yesterday.
Oh boy!
To be fair, I've been nice to this guy since February, and it is April something. I don't know the date because I'm a comedian.
29th.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve mercy.
No, he doesn't. It's my livelihood here. So he's kind of ruining my life.
Fun story about Steve. He turned me on to trying to find love on Tinder.
Heck
and,
yes.
It got to the point where I was so disgusted with myself. I deleted the app yesterday. I deleted my account.
You got rid of your Tinder? Oh, come on.
I did. It was entertaining. It was entertaining for a while. Right? But there comes a point. There comes a point where you either here's my only problem with like trying to find love on Tinder.
You just have one.
When I was sitting with a girl and we were going back and forth, there's some gems on there, by the way. If you just are doing it for the comedic value, there is funny on Tinder.
Yeah.
But I'm sure. Like a girl, she'll flip through and she clicks into each one and says, oh, I don't know, maybe. Look, he likes this. He's got that. Guys, we don't get past the first picture, right? And so you're yes, knowing right from the base. And so I match with a bunch of people. And then when you match, all of a sudden you're like, hold on, I should go look. And then again, they all, like, this is a chronic women thing. They all do the thing where they put the photo very close up of their face right up front. And it's never a smiling smile. It's like a closed lip, a sultry, smoky eye smile.
So,
and they all look hot in that moment, right? Or else they're like a professional photographer, and that makes you nervous. Or, I mean, whatever it is, right? And so then when you click in from there, man, they are all... Then you get to like the full body and you're like, where were you hiding that body? Or they get like the weird teeth grin where it's all just jagged teeth. And I know I had the same problem with like dating websites, but Tinder is just magnified by so much because it's like speed dating. It's like speed dating on drugs. I mean, you get so many women in front of you in 20 minutes is sitting on the toilet flipping through Tinder. That I feel like the rejection is enhanced 1,000-fold. Like I find myself, I found a woman. She was like 6'1", former, plays volleyball and stuff, and just wants a man to cuddle her. And I'm like, that is exactly. I am your man. And then she didn't match me, and I was like, who else are you looking for? You 6'1" snob. How dare you? I'm 6'7". There is not very many of me out there. Your options are so limited. You got to say yes when a 6'7" farmer from the Midwest comes through. What are you doing? And it just made me really angry, so I deleted it.
Wow.
That's my whole Tinder story.
Al, if you want, now let's take this to another special place. I'm logged in to your account on one of the Mormon dating websites right now, and I'm looking at your daily matches.
Wait, which one do I still have an account?
I'm not going to name them because I don't want people to look for you. We can talk.
Why not? I want to be looked for.
You always pull your profiles down, so you're not. This is the thing.
Oh yeah.
You pull
true.
Your profiles so nobody can see it, but they still send your daily matches. That's how those things work.
Oh, okay.
Your daily matches are no good for you. What I'm telling you is, don't walk away from Tinder because I don't know if these other avenues are going to provide much for you either.
I have no hope. No, all right. So I'm 30. I'm 31 right now, and I'll be honest, man. The dating. Without the singles ward and that connection, I find myself like I'm just I'm just sinking into this work despair mode where all I'm doing is working. And the dating stuff is taking a serious backseat.
That's good.
And it's scary, Jeff. We need people to set me up with their good-looking cousins that are single, or I'll take single mothers. I'm not against insta fatherhood. I'm fine with that.
Steve,
at this point, Jeff, I have no criteria outside of like legs and boobs. As long as those are there, I'm down to take you on a date. Let's give this a shot.
Sounds good to me.
Just go to a mid-singles
war, dude. You're also single. How are you finding love in Salt Lake?
It's a challenge. I think anybody who's busy has a hard time finding. Al and I both travel a ton.
Life's hard.
So that's my theory on why I did the dating website thing, the Tinder and the other dating websites, because I was like, you know what? I'm not meeting people like at church or activities, because I'm out of town a lot. And so that was my theory, was to use those. I don't know. Honestly, if I knew how to do it, I don't think I'd still be single.
Do you have any horror stories from online dating, Steve?
All the traditional stuff. But you know what? Not really. To be honest, I've actually met only like really nice, wonderful girls. And I almost feel like guilty a little bit for not being married to them. But
as well you should. They are not receiving the gift of your companionship. You should feel terrible.
It's my fault.
Was hold on. I need to know. Was any of them a 6'1" volleyball player?
There was just one who was 6'1". You know what?
And she just wanted to cuddle a lot?
We cuddled a ton.
You son of a...
It was just an awkward... She had to be the big spoon. It was the worst.
Are you not a large fellow, Steve?
No, I'm 5'8", so I mean...
There's
it was
no shame in that. Don't let anyone tell you you're less of a man.
Difficult pairing.
When Steve and I walk around, it's like Robin Big, and he's like, let me tell you about my best friend.
It's adorable together.
It's like watching My Giant. It's amazing.
We do. Yeah. Like, I'll give Al a piggyback for the comedic misplacement of our bodies. It's really fun.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Well, you know, we do have, like, Mormon news we do need to talk about.
We have some of that too.
You know, people
some
might...
Mormon news?
We don't want them to tune
out.
Now
that we've killed you all with my Tinder stories, let's talk about
The Tinder
Jesus.
Story was tender. It was wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah. Okay. So... Let's see. Some big ones. Jeff?
Yeah.
Jeff was... Peggy Fletcher Stack stole his scoop. She scooped him on why there are not more converts, even though there's more missionaries.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We've seen in the past with the age drop in missionaries.
Wait, is this story going to be about Peggy Fletcher Stack or about the missionaries?
It's going to be all about me, actually. Neither.
Okay,
but,
good.
So the point is, you know, we talked about this right after conference because, you know, we crunched the numbers. We're responsible journalists over here at This Week in Mormons. And we saw, of course, only about a 4% growth in baptisms, which is good by normal standards, but about a 40% growth in the number of missionaries. So the natural inclination here is to sound the alarm, say what's not going on. And Al, you and I have talked before about, you know, whether the missionaries being younger is having an effect on this and that. And some of that is, I'm sure some of it's true, some of it's not. You know, there's like anything, there's a healthy mix. So I do like this article because she does cite data from the great guys from LDS Church Growth and Camora.com, two great websites everybody should check out for all kinds of useful stuff, and find some of the reasons why. But I wanted to break this down and take it to a different place because I'm increasingly convinced that the real reason for the dropping of the missionary age, even though we talk about hastening the work and needing more bodies out there to do stuff, I really think it's about keeping young men active. You know, if one of every three is actually going on a mission, maybe they can raise that to like two of every five, which, you know, is little by little so that we have bigger numbers in the end overall. I really think it's to keep the young men active in the faith so they don't drop off during that year in between high school. And
how many do you think were dropping off in that year? Do you think that was like a significant percentage?
It's hard because the church doesn't really report on, you know, inactivity rates directly or retention. You know, they're not as good about things like that for obvious reasons. You know, you want to project a strong front. But it's pretty high. Everyone knows that those years, especially at the end of high school and then early 20s, those are the difficult years, and the church is well aware of this.
Steve, were you at risk as an 18-year-old?
No, no, but I was kind of dumb. I mean, naive. I was naive.
That's the real issue. We have more educated 18-year-olds out there now, and it's a danger.
I was a risk. Yeah. I was in this band, you see, and
what was it called? The best 2 years?
No, we were called 2 years later, which was a mission reference because two of us were Mormon in the band, and the other guys just didn't care.
Yeah.
And all we only named it that because we decided that the joke was, just so you know, our bass player was the other Mormon. He came up with the name 2 years later. He left on his mission. He got sick and had to come home. And so then our joke became, should we rename the band 4 months later or 18 or 20 months early or something like that? But it never happened.
It's a joke about fake back problems, you weak people. Anxiety issues.
Well, I do want to ask Steve, though. I mean, Al and I have talked about this. Steve, have you had any experiences with just seeing any kind of a difference in the way missionaries are now ever since the age drop or anything along those lines or why you think there might have been fewer baptisms? What barriers were
fewer
facing?
Are the missionaries less interesting now?
No. You know what? I think it's honestly, I don't think it's anything to do with the missionaries. I think we would have seen a drop in baptisms had we not increased the number of missionaries. Like right now, atheism is super popular. Like just no religion in general seems to me to be like the new hip thing. And so I don't know. I think a 4% growth is good, even though
that's actually something that we have not considered here, Jeff. Had we stayed the same, would we have dropped?
Well, I don't know. We might have, but I think
we were trending down, weren't we? Like,
no, we weren't really trending down. It just, we've kind of bobbed around. If you really look at the data, even all the way back from 2000 until now, you're basically at 270,000 baptisms, give or take 15,000-20,000 a year. It just depends. I mean, it's all within that window. Actually, the last time we even cracked 300,000 baptisms in a year was 1999. Ever since then, it's all been in the higher 200,000s for the most part. And with roughly the same number, it's been reasonably consistent, but it is a fair point. Maybe it would have dropped off. It did drop off between 2011 and 2012 by about 10,000. So maybe it would have dropped again. I don't know.
I mean, it could be an age thing for where I'm at, like right now, but I seem to have a lot of friends who are kind of dropping off just in general in activity and stuff like that. And I don't know. I feel like right now would be a very tough time for anybody to go and say, I'm getting baptized into a Christian church. I feel like people would definitely look down their nose at you. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but hooray for 4% growth.
Yeah, and to be sure, I mean, the growth is strong by any other year, but obviously with if we were tracking to grow as much as we normally do based on the number of missionaries, you'd see like 100,000 more baptisms than what we had. Like we would have seen this.
That's true.
This bonkers year. But, you know, but I think one of the biggest problems is that the missionaries are probably oversaturated where they are. Like, I know most of the data shows that the missionaries are not, they're like serving in areas that already exist. So rather than having one companionship that was covering a ward, you have two. And that's what's pretty much common now. Instead of taking the missionaries and saying, hey, this town out and wherever doesn't have a branch at all. Go out there, work it, make something happen. You know, we're not taking that step yet. We're not allocating our resources perhaps to be the most effective. Because most of these missionaries have gone to places like just North America, South America, places that are already open and have plenty of missionaries. I mean, like in Europe, they had one new mission. Europe's been bleeding missionaries forever, and they could have sent a lot more over there to reopen areas and try to make stuff happen. But instead, you play to the strengths because South America is where the baptisms are, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, oversaturation is the worst.
It would have been cool to see the surge used in some other places. I do wonder, like when we talked about this before, but if you dump a bunch more missionaries into the field without really telling them anything to do, I mean, well, we've alluded to this, but I worry that we just have a bunch of guys that are standing around saying, well, they weren't really ready for me here, so I'm hoping I can figure out something cool to do and find people they're trying service all day, every day and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're getting better. I mean, you know, they're doing pilot programs for service hours for the missionaries to make them get involved.
You're coming up with ways of doing stuff, but really, if you would have doubled the number of missionaries in my mission, we would have had no idea what to do with them for the, you know, a good 6 months until things sort of settled up and we opened areas and we found, you know, kind of set the processes so that they had a place and were, you know, consistently teaching people in the same area. Like, that's a big problem.
Well, that's the thing, though. Do you think that, like, in that sense, as far as opening new areas, we have sort of this culture of training wheels in a way? I mean, if this were the olden days, the missionaries would just show up and wherever they are. I mean, I know there were legal issues to worry about now that didn't exist then, but they'd show up and they would do their thing and teach and get converts and make it happen. Now it's like we're so worried, like, oh my goodness, this city has never seen missionaries. We can't just send them there and tell them to get it done. We have to slowly work at it and do a bunch of studies and yada, yada, yada. You know, just send them, as long as it's legal and they're safe where they're going, just send them somewhere new. Let them rock it.
No, there's a responsibility. There's a responsibility on us as a church to be able to maintain these members. You don't give them the gospel and then not give them a way to live it, right?
Yeah.
You got to be able to support a branch and all
that. That's true, but if you got to be able to support a branch, how do you ever have growth in new areas if you can't send somebody in there and have the guts to say, boom? I mean, I know you could at least find new converts and say you have
stakes of Zion, Jeff. That's what we're building. We're building stakes, not little nails in the ground. No, we are planting stakes.
Uh-huh.
Like men.
I am just trying to get more areas open.
Which leads us to our next topic, ordained women.
Which is what? Wow. Oh, ordained women. Steve.
Was that too fast? That was a quick
Steve,
transition.
Steve,
I liked it, though. It was impressive.
Steve, I have two questions for you. One,
okay.
Do you want to ordain women? And two,
why?
No. Why not?
Oh, a little why not action. Because you're assuming I'm going to say no.
I was trying to think of something witty to say, and actually question two just didn't really work for me. So,
okay. You know what? I hate to admit that I haven't thought about it that much, which would make me assume that I'm probably trending towards no. I honestly haven't even thought about it.
I've thought about it.
Like, the only thought that I've had is like, well, in the temple, there's a lot of stuff that's done that's fairly priestly by women. So that was my thought. So I don't know. I don't know if, like, in the next life, if it'll be completely different. Well, I think it will be completely different, to be honest.
That sounds accurate.
You know what I mean? Like,
that sounds accurate. I think
immortal bodies.
He talked about the dispensations, right? Like different keys are restored in different dispensations. And in our dispensation,
right. We
do not have all the keys.
Right. And so... So I'm sure that eventually is coming at some point. It would make sense for women to have the priesthood at some point. I don't know that it'll be during the earthly life, like until maybe, I don't know. That's something I have no clue about. But right now I know they don't have it, and so that's... And it seems to be fine.
I think you've really got to think. This could be great for your comedy act. This is ripe.
No, okay.
For plucking. You need this.
Have you guys heard about that ordained women thing?
Hey, you guys know this joke? That sounds like a great way to really confuse an audience.
You're really going to endear yourself to both the Mormon crowd and the non-Mormon crowd with mocking sensitive things.
Everyone hates me.
You should listen to me. I'm the one who doesn't live in Utah. I know what the real world is like. You should listen to me. I know things. I'm smart.
Does anybody outside Utah care?
Oh, they care so much.
Really?
Do they?
About ordained women?
Yeah.
It varies. I don't think. I mean, in the church, sure. I think I have a slightly unfair exposure to it because I'm in D.C. and people talk about things like that out here. But
D.C. would talk about that.
But
I
overall,
mean,
I don't know.
I read all the stuff that not all the stuff, but I've read a very long
Kim Kardashian
internet thing about something that one of the main ladies wrote. I guess it was an article that she wrote to some...
Jessica Biel.
Yeah. What? No.
Let's all watch Stealth.
I'm guessing.
It was Jessica Biel, I think.
Oh my
That's
gosh,
right.
Stealth. What a
it's time
movie.
To watch Stealth, everyone. It's going to be great.
Well, so there's actually a letter going around that some people were wondering if was actually written by church spokesman Michael Otterson. And turns out that it was.
As best as
right, where he just kind of he addressed a couple of things about the protest slash movement slash I don't know what how do they term it? They don't term it a protest, right? Like they
refer to them as
the ordained women folk do not like it being called a protest.
No, they don't. But they refer to them as protesters.
Well, the church does, but they take issue with that. What are they?
Well, they don't say.
I think they want to. I think they feel like they're raising awareness that it's I think it's been. They feel analogous to sort of like blacks in the priesthood and stuff like that.
They do, yeah.
Which
well, so
well, yeah. They say that they're not. They don't use any language to call what they're doing protesting. They just say, "No, we're just trying to get tickets." That's all they say.
Tickets.
Yeah. Well, so Brother Otterson actually discussed a little bit about the staged event, how they went through a closed door specifically so they could get pictures of men turning them away, so that it'd be more impactful, and how it was a little bit disappointing to the brethren. That it was so emphatically staged, and they were there to get what they want, and they, even though the church had taken steps to sort of in a very gentle way put people there that could have the discussion
right.
About what this was going to be, they still didn't want that. They wanted the photo op. Right. He ends the little letter in. I do hope that you will try and understand how disappointed church leaders are over the staged event last weekend, and that you will find peace, comfort and confidence in the apostles and prophets who lead us. I think that's honestly the danger. Well, man, I don't know. I think there is a danger, though, in hearing something like what Elder Oaks says, and then your immediate response being, "Well, I hope that, like, he's wrong, right?" I mean, it's fine to hope for change, and pray for change, but isn't there an element of acceptance and support and sustaining that needs to happen? Even in scenarios like this where we don't necessarily agree?
Yeah, obviously.
Well, do you think, or I mean, is it okay to be like, no, I can't wait till he's dead so that we don't have to believe in that
It
anymore.
Does seem a bit silly to assume that, you know, to walk into something, and you might have hopes and dreams and things you want him to look into, but if an apostle talks about something, it does seem weird if you were to right out the gate just be like, oh, well, I just
people,
categorically.
People point.
I don't,
they point to times where apostles have said have changed.
Of course.
And that's fine, but like in that moment, I think our role is more supportive and then just go back to the Lord in prayer and say, please.
I think perhaps what is more interesting is that ordained women has been pretty quiet actually since conference. I have not seen much going on with things. I'm sure they're doing a little bit of this and that, but it's definitely been a bit quieter. But of course, as you might remember, as I reminded our listeners, I was booted out of the Mormon Stories Facebook group, and Kate Kelly defriended me. So I really have no idea what's going on. I'm totally out.
You were banned.
I was banned. I don't even know what I did wrong. I did nothing wrong. I think all I did is I said, hey, we should talk about Christ. I think that's what I said, and they kicked me out. Thank you, Mormon Stories.
What in the world group is that?
Mormon Stories is a prominent podcast community started by one John DeLynn, who once attempted to infringe upon our intellectual property. And
oh boy,
he's done. No, he's been around for a long time. He does good stuff. His point, he's really trying to. He ostensibly he's helping people who have crises of faith stay in the church and work through those things. That's the idea. But as can inevitably be the case in situations like this, it can also become a rallying point for disaffected former members or people who are angry or have had bad experiences with the church. And that's not to diminish those bad experiences as being genuine, but it doesn't eventually become a bit of a rallying place for those positions as well. So, you know, you take a little, you give a little, whatever.
Amen.
Another story. Let's see. Real quick one here. I love this. LDS.org got another new homepage. They can't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. It just keeps going.
Is it new or just a new section?
It's sort of new. It's new. They designed and went to, because they redesigned the page not very long ago. I mean, really recently. And sort of used more tile work up in the top. First presidency message on the left with a little, you know, avatar picture of him and this and that. But now they've redone it to even out some of those tiles and then add more tiles underneath because they've learned, shocker, in the Pinterest era, having tiles and pictures is the good way to get people to click on stuff.
Oh, it works.
Shazing. So,
Shazing.
So that's the gist. Yeah, so that's the main gist of it. I mean, they actually published an article called "Why is the homepage different? What are we doing?" So they've got more featured content, more stuff directing exactly to what prophets and apostles are saying today, inspiring messages, news about what's going on in the church today, all that stuff. So not a huge change.
So,
but what I'm going to post for everybody is one of our listeners, Wellington, posted this on our Facebook page. There is a nearingcolab.com. They actually used the Wayback Machine, and they found how the church's website has changed over the years. Nothing incredible or amazing, but it's kind of fun to see actually how the church's website has evolved from basically nothing more than a placeholder in 1996 to what it is today. And I see the one from 2000, and now I see where the design for MLS came from. And now I realize that we have not updated the design of MLS for 14 years.
It's a sad state of MLS.
Our clerks are not happy.
So let's see. The MTC expansion plans have been released. This is pretty exciting. There's a new driveway for dropping missionaries off that is planned. I like this. I hope that it's a little bit amusement parkish, where like you go through the It's a Small World area, and it's like hello from Spain.
No. What it needs to be is I'm sorry, Al knows, Steve doesn't know that I love Disneyland like a ton, but it needs to be an Omni Mover type ride, like the Haunted Mansion, where it never stops. It's just a moving cart and walkway.
It's constantly spinning and rolling.
Yeah, so people just, you load on and the moving walkway goes up and it never stops. You just get off, get on. No stopping. You kiss your...
parents are split off on one way and the missionaries on the other, and it keeps you like within eye distance for a little while, and then what? The parents are going up, missionaries going up, parents down, up, down, up, down, all of a sudden disappear. Yes. It's gone.
We could do it
I
more
like
I still
want there to be the end part of the ride where the ghost sits next to him, though. It doesn't have anything to do with
that. That's at the very end, and they do it for the parents, and they actually calibrate it so the ghost looks like they're... newly departed.
Oh, that's great.
That would be good. Yeah. Yeah. Like he's still with you in spirit.
In a way. Or
dude, how terrible would that be? That would be like if it was like this gimmicky, funny ride as you split with your missionaries. I feel like that'd be awesome.
We should lobby to have an attraction put in instead of all of this. I think that'd be excellent.
We need to draw up on Roller Coaster Tycoon how this should look.
Oh, you know what would be great? Would be like a simulator ride instead. Everybody gets in the theater and gets ready. And then it's like, it's mission time, and it's you're flying.
It's the call to serve video, and they miss you when it rains. They're like, oh, no, it's raining.
You're flying around the world. They actually show you fly into the water as if
Harry Potter takes you on an adventure through the mission.
You get dunked like someone being baptized. You go into the water and come back out.
Wow.
It dives down into the ocean.
This is great. If you might remember years ago when my sister and I conceived of an entire Christian theme park subland. Because remember,
I remember your sister and you conceiving.
Hey, well, no, remember when we found in Florida, when we found in Orlando, what was that? The Holy Land experience.
Oh yeah, with the Jesus.
It's a whole theme park themed after the Holy Land, and it's like outstandingly amazing. And I had to pull a review of it down because Al and I were trying to win a contest to spend 2 months in Orlando playing tourist, and I didn't want them to see me lampooning the. Wonderful, wonderful place, the Holy Land.
Turns out they probably never saw anything about us.
Yeah, because our video was just absolutely terrible.
So, they also have a few other buildings going up and blah, blah, blah. But the main thing is they have a big driveway for the drop-off.
It's going to be huge. Because right now I'm looking at where that drive hits it. Because right now it just kind of cuts it off, right? It just swings around to the other side. So now it's going to just zoom right in and... I still don't love the drop-off. Let them have the meeting like they used to.
I liked the meeting, man. I felt like that was one of the best parts of that first week or so of the MTC.
It's cathartic for the parents, I think. It's nice.
Called to serve him.
Steve, did you mission?
I missioned, but I said goodbye to my parents at the Seattle airport.
Oh, see, that's even ballsier. Good for you.
I just said, see you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of a weird, I mean, it wasn't weird, but I remember being in that room and watching everybody else weep and say goodbye. And I was just kind of like, okay, this is kind of weird.
Sweet, you cowards.
I mean, it wasn't weird, but it just, I guess it was like, I want this to be over.
You still had 2 years to go, buddy. You can't start thinking
yeah.
of that right away.
Yeah, it was like, come on. Let's just go.
My family was all excited with mine because they got a bonus. We said goodbye, but then as I went through the hallways and worked my way back around going wherever I had to go, we had to walk down that main hallway again. So my family was still there, and they like saw me, and my mom freaked out. Because my mom freaks out about everything. So
she does. Barbara loves
She does. We had to go down to L.A. to get our visas, and my family surprised me and was waiting in the consulate.
Hello.
That was awkward because my sort of girlfriend was with them.
Oh, that's not okay.
It was terrible. Hated it. Didn't know what to do.
Let's see here. There's another one. I found this, Jeff. An Ask Angela.
Oh, I love it. Angela. Where you been, Angela? Trustee? Yeah, tell me.
She was such a sweetheart, right?
Yeah, well, so she had good. Us help her, and then she doesn't talk to us anymore. It's so sad.
She just used us.
Pretty much.
So somebody writes in. This is a woman that writes in and says that she and her fiancé were going to get married. She confided in him that she had a pornography addiction before and just wanted to make sure everything was out in the open. And then he stops her there, says, guess what? Wedding's off. Don't bother with this. Never talk to me again. Boom, it's done. It's over. He didn't want to marry a girl that had a porn addiction. I had an interesting conversation with a gal that I had been out with recently who had an alcohol addiction, and this also came out, and sort of a similar thing, right? Where what was interesting about these to me is we profess an absolute belief in the atonement, right? That you can be completely clean, and that past sins or whatever had happened, that we don't need to dwell on that. That's not for us to figure out. That's you and the Lord. And then we just are supposed to look at you and the trajectory you're on and try and make decisions from there. But there's a part of me, as this girl was talking to me about alcohol, or like as if you were talking to your significant other about their previous porn addiction or anything like that, there's a part of you that says, hold on, how much of the atonement do we believe? How much is just being ignorant to red flags? Oprah's red flags are all over these situations. Like, how much of that is should you run away from? And how much of it should you say, well, I mean, if you've repented and you're not sinning anymore, I guess we should just be fine.
Well, then again, see, this is the slippery slope. Why do you even bring it up? I think it's fine to ask somebody, like, are you clean? Is there anything I need to be aware of? Right? But then, because if you start digging into past transgressions, you get into this murky place where you start questioning other things about them, jealousy, whatever it may be. And I mean, that's such an important thing about repentance and the atonement, because you do, if it is in the past, it's in the past, man. Don't go digging that stuff up and hashing it out again. I mean, that fiance was she's better off. That guy's an idiot, honestly.
I just opened this up as well. This guy is clearly not to be... Angela started that off by saying, not to spring into fiance bashing mode, but what kind of guy ends a relationship this way? Yeah, he's a dingbat. I mean, not to, who says dingbat, but
he's a dillweed.
He's a goof. He's a schminkle. Anyways, he's really dumb.
He's a schminkle.
He's a schminkledorf, is what I was going to say. Oh, okay. It's a made up word.
Oh, that's a schmeckle.
Was he a schmeckle or a dork?
Or a schminkle.
Either way.
Schmeckle or a schminkle.
Clearly, like, Al nailed it there. Like, dude, you don't understand the atonement. Not that it's my job to say who gets it and who doesn't get it. But if someone goes, I sinned once, and you go, holy crap, this is over. I only want a perfect wife. Well, you're... Sorry, dude.
So I agree with you. Let me paint a different picture, though. You fast forward 10 years into marriage. The guy or girl relapses, and they're back looking at porn. Things got real hard. They were tense between you for 4 months. 4 months, no sex. And then they're right back at it down there with the computer in the basement overnight one night. And you're like, I should have seen this.
Yeah.
Right? All the red flags were there. What the heck?
That's a good question.
I made a huge mistake. I should have never married you because obviously you were going to go right back
here.
That's
so stupid. I don't know. If stuff is chronic, then that's one thing. But good people will try to work with someone they love and get through stuff, man. I mean, it stinks and it's unfortunate, but you work and you get through stuff together. That's the way you get stronger in a relationship, not by jumping ship because someone disappoints you once in a major way.
Nice.
Well, on that vein, I'm glad God doesn't jump ship when we disappoint. He's like, no, you jerk. I'm out.
Exactly.
This is not forgivable.
I never thought you'd do that.
Also, what I like about this, I shouldn't say like I love the example, but I think it's also interesting. This is a woman who's saying she once struggled with porn addiction.
Finally, a woman porn addict.
Well,
Thank you.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but
thank you for breaking the stereotype.
Exactly.
Can we get a few more women porn addicts out there? I mean, it really takes the pressure off the men.
Yeah, we need it. I just think, whatever. Don't be a jerk, Al.
All
right. Remember last week when I mentioned that we knew that they'd been passing a survey around BYU about sexual orientation and heterosexual was the only option?
Yeah, they had no homosexual. What orientation are you? Heterosexual? ? Big check
so,
box. That's all.
So
was.
Because Peggy Fletcher Stack obviously listens to our show and copies
Did
everything.
Did you hear
I
about
say.
This, Steve?
No, but I don't. Somebody posted on Facebook today about a survey where it said, "Are you heterosexual? Yes, or do you struggle with same?
Are you heterosexual with same-sex leanings?"
Right, right. Yeah, let me see if I can find it here real quick.
Yeah, that's
what it said.
About.
Yeah, it said, I'm heterosexual, but I struggle with same-sex attraction. I'm heterosexual, and I don't struggle with it. And then it says other, please specify. I hope that one just says, like, I'm a eunuch or something like that.
Well, so a couple of points of clarification on this. This wasn't BYU that put this out.
No.
It was a communications thing that they were doing some survey.
The church does
also.
Surveys.
They've clarified the wording on the survey to better reflect what they're trying to get at with the question. So they fixed it all, but boy, that survey went all over the
news.
Well,
yeah, because they fixed it only after everybody kind of commented on it. Because you saw it. It was someone just dropped the ball here. I don't think this show is any kind of nefarious things at work inside the church. It's just someone dropped the ball creating a survey and just was not thinking. And because I sincerely doubt this was the kind of thing that came down from the higher levels. This was the church hires firms to do polling for them, and whoever designed this survey just failed. That's all.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
They lost their job.
I wonder why there's a comma after any of the, like, why is there qualifiers? I am heterosexual, comma, but struggle with same-sex attraction. Oh, okay, I see.
That's called grammar. Grammar. That's what that is.
That's Steve. Grammar.
That's
well,
what we
I just,
call it.
I just
Steve,
wish,
you have had such a hard time with letters today.
I'm having a really rough time, guys. Listen.
What do you guys call your show?
I was dropped on my head as a baby. I just wanted to just say I'm heterosexual or I'm homosexual. I don't want it to say anything else is all I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, now they improved
it. Just doesn't need.
You can
or
say,
just hetero and homo.
You can even say you're bi now in the new survey. You can say you're bi or transsexual. They gave you every
right.
option now.
Just,
it's like
just treat it like any other survey. Don't dress it up with these like weird
commas and
commas
punctuation
and extra.
You schminkles.
What's next? A semicolon? Oh my God.
You schminkles.
What schminkles?
I think we should bring that back. Yeah.
All right.
Definitely. Okay.
Anyways. Such
well, that's exciting.
Great.
Is there anything else, Jeff? We're done, aren't we? No. Oh, Mormon coins. So some quick mentions. The Mormon coins, those weird ones that looked like the all-seeing eye of Sloth from Goonies.
Yeah.
Sold for like $700,000.
No, it's crazy.
So good for them. Good for Mormons. I wish they could have got that money for them back in the day when they actually made the coinage and needed the money. That would have been
nice.
But
then Joseph Smith would not have learned experiences from the failed bank in Kirtland. Had to learn.
This was a failed bank in Utah. But sure,
I know, but I'm trying to retconning the whole thing.
This is Lorenzo Snow's lesson that he learned.
I love Lorenzo
Snow. When he tried to print more money to save the church, and it didn't.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Actually, I can tell you about printing money because this past week I actually visited the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, and what I learned is you don't print more money just because you need it.
How tall were you in dollars, Jeff?
I'd have to look at the picture I put on Instagram. Oh. I'm 6'3 with my hair.
6'9 with the fro. Yeah, Fletch.
So, another quick one. Great article here. NPR actually had a quick interview with Neon Trees. Of course, they've been in the news. Here's the one thing, though. I appreciate that Tyler Glenn had the courage to come out and just say, yeah, he's a gay Mormon, and he still has faith and all that stuff. And then I love the I'm a Mormon video with Elaine Bradley, the drummer. But I've realized both of these things happen to coincide with the release of a new Neon Trees album. And so in some ways, while at first I was pleased by this.
No, do not impugn their motives.
I felt endeared to them, but then I'm like, wait a minute, of all the times to decide to have this conversation, it's when you're drumming up publicity for a new album? But they're on NPR and they talk a lot actually about
Do you think this is just like Tattoo, where the two girls were lesbians and then in the end they weren't lesbians?
No idea what you're talking about.
Tattoo, that great Russian band.
Нас не нагонят. Нас.
No? No?
Anybody? Okay. Anybody?
All right.
Steve, you didn't serve a mission in some kind of Slavic place, did you? Because then this
No,
is...
I was in Montreal.
Well, that's nobody's perfect. But you got to have poutine, though, so life is good.
Poutine was fantastic.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But
you could buy poutine at Costco.
It's not as good. But, anyways, it's a good read, actually. I think it's fun because they talk more openly about their faith, about how actually the non-alcoholic music scene in Provo helped them in a way, because Mormons actually pay attention to music. I never thought of it that way, rather than just drinking and stuff like that. But it's just good. I like to see people happily representing their faith and not shying away from it, which is nice. Good for them.
Olé, the Ogden Temple is ready to be rededicated.
Oh, finally.
In September. Oh my God. In September.
Oh my gosh. We first reported on this like 4 years ago when they decided they were going to redo the whole thing.
I know. They're so slow. Those Ogden people are notorious for their slow.
They have taken almost as long as Disney has taken to build the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train coaster in Florida. Am I right? Of course I am.
Oh, this guy. All right.
Of course I am. It's absolute. But September.
And then what's our Glenn Beck piece, Jeff? I'm excited to see this.
Glenn Beck has some feelings, and he says he got a message from God that God said, I am coming and I will settle scores. And Glenn Beck was speaking at Liberty University, okay, which is one of those famed Christian universities, you know, one of those things.
They're training champions for Christ since 1971.
Yeah, and that's over in Lynchburg, Virginia, so it's not super far from me. But he was out there speaking to him. It's great they let a Mormon in because it's the kind of school that usually isn't too happy with us. And he said that he had an epiphany. He was in Jerusalem on like the Temple Mount, and he heard God basically told him that the wrath is coming. So apparently Glenn Beck is now a prophet.
Well,
look, Deborah too was a prophetess, so there's nothing to say that Glenn Beck can't be a prophet.
Well, he can get revelation. We're fine with that.
And does this count as revelation for the whole church?
It's just weird to get the sort of the big revelation for Liberty University students.
They need it because the wrath is coming for them.
I just like Glenn Beck. I'm glad he's back on our radar. It was too long without him.
Maybe that's what it was.
Aren't we supposed to spring for a subscription to the Blaze so that we can really...
Oh, yeah. And then I took over as the CEO of Mozilla. They would call for my resignation because I paid $7 to a Glenn Beck.
Probably. And, you know, he doesn't like the gay marriage.
He hates it. Did we talk about the Dallinay Chokes discussion? We talked about that last week where he went and spoke to the UVU folks about...
I don't know if we did. Did we talk about it last week? Either way, it happened, and it was wonderful.
I thought it was interesting. He went and talked to... It was on a, like a... Religious Freedoms Symposium there at UVU. And so he went and spoke at this thing about religious freedoms in the church. And he talked about how religious freedom is being attacked by, in society, how it's being limited. And he foresees the day when religious freedoms will be curtailed, essentially, because of their unpopularity. Because religion, as sort of a topic, is inherently against often what is socially acceptable or normal, right? And so religion is often racist, and religion is often bigoted to people that would like to see it done differently. And religion is often all these other things, but it's always been protected up to this point in history where if that was your religion, you were free to be a moron if you wanted to be a moron. They didn't care, per se. And now people are fighting to shut down anybody that does not think the same way. And that is going to hurt religious freedom, says Dallin H. Oaks. And now you know. That's everything. That's all
good.
I got, Jeff.
Okay, you're sure?
That's all I have. I don't even have an article. I'm just regurgitating from what
I heard.
Here's
a quick question for you. Provo...
Were you playing Spider Solitaire? Where'd you go?
What?
You left me alone there, man. I was just hanging.
Me?
Yeah. No,
I was waiting for a response.
I was letting Steve jump in. I didn't want him to feel left out.
Oh, sorry about that.
Be assertive, man. Be assertive. Get in there. This is
it's
yours.
My fault, apparently.
That's on me, guys. That's on me.
Good information from Al Doan. What was
back
your
to
next
you,
thing?
Jeff?
So apparently Provo is the nation's happiest town. So my question to you, though, is it worth visiting?
That's America's question, and the answer is no, it's not.
Are you sure?
Definitely.
We are absolutely sure.
Yep.
You're sure? So, who would actually travel to Provo? Mormons go there.
Nobody should ever.
But who would, like, from outside the area, be like, I think I need to see Provo?
No, that should never happen.
It should never happen. Another quick question for you.
Well, I think, okay, hold on. Actually, I do think if you are not from the area, you should go visit it. Just to
see
it.
What would you see in Provo? Because I was just in Provo last night, and I had nothing to do.
You would just see the people. You would just go to, like, some place where people watch, like an airport kind of thing.
Like, go to the Wilk and sit?
Go to the Wilk. That is where you should go. And just watch a culture that is unique to that specific area.
Well, you know what I do?
You won't find anywhere else.
When I go to the Wilk, I actually hop on the piano they always have there. And and I start playing.
You, sir!
I want to take you to a gay bar! I start playing that. Could you imagine someone doing that?
Electric Six? Is that who sings that? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. We need someone who listens to... The funny thing is, of all of our listeners, I don't honestly know how many we have that are BYU students. This is a market we are missing.
Nine of them.
I remember I was once in Utah and I made crappy flyers and I actually stood outside of Provost campus and tried to hand them out for the show.
I do remember that. I should do
that. I passed out like five and then I felt really weird. So I stopped.
We could do it together, Jeff. We'd enjoy it
together. We should.
Anyway.
We'll tackle. Oh, anything else? My last question for you from the Deseret News. What happened to the wave of Mormon movies? Guys, remember when like Mormon movies were everywhere?
Yes.
Where'd they go? Why don't we have them anymore?
That's a fair question.
Were they ever, like, outside of the singles war, did it ever make very much money for anybody?
No, it never...
Have you not seen The Godfather Part II rivaling masterpiece known as The Home Teachers?
No,
I missed it.
It is a film, layers. I am telling you, it is like having a flaky biscuit. Just so many layers that you just
okay.
You find.
What about that, the more recent one? One of my friends was in that, the Saratov thing.
Oh, yeah.
Saratov approach.
He was, McLean Nelson was one of the missionaries.
So was he the one who was not Corbin Allred?
He was that one.
How does Corbin Allred...
is that the one that looks like he was 40?
Yeah.
That's correct. He's the one who looks young, actually.
Yeah, Corbin Allred is way too old to be playing a missionary at this point.
A 19-year-old. 18-year-old
also,
now.
That could be conflicting for people who go to the temple.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I feel like temple film actors have a moral responsibility to not confuse us with other roles.
To never act in anything
basically.
Else.
Good call.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, we gotta go. This has been a great show, though, Jeff. And Steve, thank you for joining us. Everybody, You can always find not, Steve Solberg.
Not on his website. No website.
SteveSolberg.com, right, Steve?
Isn't you can that find you? Me there, but don't try to email me. So if you're going to try to email me, wait a month until I have it fixed.
But or it's Steve, follow me on Pinterest. S-T-E-V-E-S-O-E-L-B-E-R-G.
That's right. That's right. Just so subscribe that's to me on YouTube
what,
or something.
What are you on Pinterest? Pinterest.com/...
Oh, I do everything under my name. So Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram.
You make everybody spell Solberg no matter where they go.
Yeah, yeah. Screw getting that name shorter. I want every letter of my name involved. Steve Solberg.
Steve, if this were 1905 and I were an Ellis Island clerk and you were immigrating here from Germany, I would make you change...
It would be Steve Clock.
Yeah, your name would be Clock. Yeah.
Hey, when's your next show at a Wise Guys around here? When where can people go see you?
Locally, I'm not on stage locally until July. Oh, you know
where,
what?
Just like every Friday night at every Wise Guys. Where do we go?
Sorry, if you
he doesn't have to
show,
be local.
I'm going to be opening for Chris Kattan over the Memorial Day weekend.
Please ask him why he made Corky Romano. Just. Bring that up.
Will do. He might not know.
But it doesn't have to be local. I mean, Steve, are you performing? Just tell us. I mean, we have everyone's listening around.
Oh yeah, that's
around
true.
The world.
You're all across the nation.
Yes.
I'm gonna be.
It's a Twim Nation.
I totally forgot. Let me look at my calendar here.
Yeah. Please.
Sorry.
We'll wait
I'm,
for you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Not aware of my own life.
That's all right. We can go through some of our other stuff and then come back to you. So you can reach us at contact at This Week in Mormons. Visit our webpage, thisweekinmormons.com, and leave us a comment. We'd love to
see,
read
see, that's
them.
An easy email address. Very nicely done, Al. Also, go
thank
to facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. Find us at The Real Twim on Twitter. Find our YouTube page. Subscribe to stuff. Yada, yada, yada. You know, just grow the show, folks. It's what we do it for you.
Just
so we want more people to
grow it.
Yeah. Steve, anything?
Okay, so follow me on Twitter. So I'm going to be in Boston next weekend.
Sorry.
So tweet at me.
That's just like a total nonsense.
I'm going to be in Boston next weekend, the May 9th and 10th. And so we're probably doing some clubs out there. And
if anybody goes and sees Steve from Twim in Boston or anywhere,
please.
I want you to go up to him after and say... And say, we are the Twim Army. Just whisper it to him. You can lean in and whisper, Tubal-Cain, we are the Twim Army. And then, Steve, you have to give him $20.
Yeah, I will give you $20 if that happens. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
We have listeners in Boston.
See me. Tubal-Cain, we are the Twim Nation.
Or Santa Rosa, California, May 16th.
Do you have venues for these, or are you just going to go to the city and see what sticks?
You know what? I email the clubs.
Okay.
And so we'll see if I can get in. So,
so
that's
so
why
you
should
just,
follow
you
me
just
on Twitter,
show up.
Because then I'll tweet which club I'm in.
Is this the way?
It's a live like instant thing. You got to be ready. Have no plans.
Yeah,
people.
It's like, is this
no,
the way? Is this the way?
Have plans.
Free your evenings for the nights that Steve is in town, and he will make
I'm
you
just
happy.
Telling these cities to clear their schedule. Santa Rosa, clear your schedule. Toronto, May 30th and 31st, clear your schedule, Toronto.
This is the way
that's
business
all.
Gets done, man. You just show up in town and no purse or script. You just show up and make it happen. Wait for the...
Yeah, I don't have purse or... Yeah, that stuff is garbage.
That's actually easy because I don't feel like any man carries a purse or a script anymore.
I believe you need to look into the Indian casino circuit, though. That one you might be missing out on.
I've done some of those.
Also,
and,
also cruise ships. Big fan.
All right, if you're a cruise ship booker, go ahead and email me as well.
As a man who's taken a cruise, I can help you.
Sounds good.
I've been on one of those boats.
Let me email the carnival.
Al and I went on a cruise once, and the comedian, all he knew how to do was a Bill Cosby impression. That's like all. That was his entire shtick.
Wow.
That's all he did. It was so
So strong.
It would have been great if Bill Cosby was actually there being funny, but instead we had somebody pretending to be Bill Cosby trying to be funny.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Anyway, okay, Jeff, we're way over. What are we doing? We got to go.
I don't care.
We got to go. People,
anyways,
you've been delightful.
Everyone's been good. Steve
thank
Solberg,
you.
Thank you very much for joining us this week. Great
Woo!
To have you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. And we hope all you folks have a terrific week. Steve, be well. Al, also have a wonderful journey back to Missouri.
I will. I will
bless
be
you. And I will also wish blessings upon myself. And with that, we will leave this episode of This Week in Mormons to the history books. May you all have a great week, everyone. Twim out. See you. Came in from a rainy Thursday on the
is Somerset.